Atari's golden age, the pixels that defined a generation. The year is 1972. The air in Sunnyvale, California, crackles not just with the hum of nascent technology, but with the electric anticipation of something entirely new. Nolan Bushnell and Ted Dabney, two visionaries with a shared passion for coin-operated amusement, were about to unleash a phenomenon that would etch itself into the fabric of popular culture: Atari. Their creation, Pong, a deceptively simple electronic tennis game, was more than just an arcade cabinet. It was the primordial ooze from which the video game industry would crawl, then walk, and eventually sprint into a golden age. Atari's story is a saga of innovation, ambition, and the exhilarating, often precarious, nature of pioneering a new frontier. Before the sleek consoles and online multiplayer of today, there were the glowing vector graphics of the arcade, the satisfying clack of a joystick, and the communal thrill of high scores chased under neon lights. Bushnell, a maverick with an infectious personality, famously declared, "I made $40,000 playing games in college." This wasn't just a boast, it was a credo. He believed in the power of play, not just as a pastime, but as a viable, lucrative enterprise. The early days were marked by an almost frantic pace of invention. In 1977, Atari unleashed the Atari Video Computer System, later known as the Atari 2600. This beige box with its wood grain paneling was a portal to a universe of digital adventures. Suddenly, living rooms across America transformed into interactive playgrounds. Classics like Space Invaders, Asteroids, and the infamous E.T. the Extraterrestrial, which, despite its notorious reputation, was a cultural touchstone, became household names. The console wasn't just a piece of hardware. It was a cultural artifact, a symbol of a future where entertainment was limited only by imagination and the number of cartridges one owned. The allure of Atari was multifaceted. It democratized gaming, bringing the arcade experience home. It fostered a sense of competition and community as families and friends gathered to conquer virtual worlds. The simple yet addictive gameplay loops of titles like Pac-Man, licensed by Atari for the 2600, albeit with a controversial maze redesign, and Donkey Kong captivated millions. These games weren't just distractions. They were shared experiences, forming the bedrock of a new form of entertainment. However, the golden age was not without its shadows. The rapid growth of the industry led to oversaturation and a flood of low-quality games. This, coupled with the disastrous release of E.T. the Extraterrestrial, contributed to the infamous video game crash of 1983. Millions of unsold cartridges were famously buried in a New Mexico landfill, a symbolic grave for an era that had burned so brightly. Many believed this was the end of video games as a mainstream phenomenon. Yet the legacy of Atari endured. The seeds sown by Bushnell and his team had taken root so deeply that they could not be eradicated. The crash, while devastating, also served as a crucible, forcing a period of introspection and innovation. Companies like Nintendo and Sega rose from the ashes, learning from Atari's triumphs and missteps and ushering in the next era of console gaming. The fundamental appeal of interactive digital entertainment, first ignited by Atari, proved resilient. Today, as we hear news of potential IP agreements to revive Atari's beloved titles, it's a poignant reminder of this foundational period. The announcement touches upon a rich history that shaped popular culture long before the turn of the millennium. It speaks to an era when pixels were rudimentary, graphics were blocky, but the magic and wonder of interactive storytelling were, and remain, timeless. Atari's legacy isn't just in the games they created, but in the very idea that play could be a powerful, transformative force. They didn't just create video games, they created a universe, one coin slot at a time.